Blog Talk Radio.
Mondays with Coach Adams, presented by Inspired Media for You. It's time to receive your weekly infusion of motivation and empowerment to jumpstart your week. I am your host, Shania Marie Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams, Master Motivator and your resident empowerment coach. I coach and you win. Our focus on Motivational Mondays is to equip and empower you in the process of closing the gap from where you are to where you desire to grow. Each week, we come together to engage on life's highway where I believe truly we are on a divine journey in which God is the light illuminating our path, guiding and directing each and every step along the way. We sincerely value your participation, our global listening audience, and we genuinely appreciate you tuning in for this time of empowerment, coined as Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, hashtag I'm for you. We don't take your time lightly or for granted, but rather we are eternally grateful to have this opportunity to sow into your lives on your journey of purpose, to fulfill your destiny. Here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, our programming is designed based on formats of empowerment that we bring you each and every week. The blending of our in-studio guests sharing their testimonies and or areas of expertise and our Shape Up series, which has been designed to support you on your journey to win personally and professionally, so that you may be more equipped to work it now. Work your vision, achieve your goals, and live your dreams. If you have missed any of our past show episodes, archives of previous broadcasts, and the richness of what is shared each week are always available online at www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmediaforyou. www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia, the number 4 and the letter U. Allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. I, your host, Coach Adams, and our in-studio guest will share together for about 40 minutes into today's broadcast around our subject of making it happen, after which time we will open our programming up for audience participation, at which time we welcome your questions and comments. This, of course, will lend to an interactive environment. We encourage you, our global listening audience, to chime in at the appropriate time. So I want to encourage you to get your notepads and pens handy, your laptops, your iPads, your tablets, whatever you need to capture notes and those nuggets that you want to get clarity around, or maybe you want to get a question answered or make a comment, whatever that looks like. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays, again, we are talking about making it happen, and this is the perfect time to deal with this topic and this subject. Before we jump into today's topic, we ask that you take a moment to invite someone to today's broadcast, write on someone's Facebook wall. Send a tweet, a text, a DM, a message in the bottle, a carrier pigeon, a fax, an email. Do whatever you need to do to invite someone to share in today's broadcast and the richness that will be shared. We so extend our gracious thanks and appreciate your support with expanding our outreach. You know, I'm so excited about today's broadcast and today's guest. Why? Because truly we have been fortunate here at Motivational Mondays to have some all-stars joining us in the virtual boardroom, and today's in-studio guest is no exception. Let me share with you a little bit about Shay Givens. Shay Givens has been featured in Essence Magazine and Gospel Today Magazine, as well as appeared on a host of television shows and news programs around the country. She is the recipient of several local and international awards for her human rights initiatives. You're going to hear more about that. She is an author, has several books, has an international organization that we're going to talk about. I want you to join me in giving a virtual Motivational Mondays welcome to our in-studio guest, the powerhouse, Shay Givens. Shay, welcome.
Thank you, sister. How are you?
I am so fabulous, and I thank you, and you're so welcome. It's so awesome to have you on today's broadcast. You know, we're on the heels of the start of this new year. Tell me about your New Year's Eve celebration. That's always huge for people. I know you had great fun.
Well, what was interesting, I was scheduled to speak at a church on Sunday. And so I knew New Year's Eve, I couldn't turn up like the way I really wanted to. So I was like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? Because I really wanted to be focused and on point for Sunday. So I did my normal New Year's Eve get out, and I went to church. And so I went to church, and I kind of went just to say hi to a few folks, and I ended up getting a huge surprise. And one of my favorite gospel artists was at church, and he just blessed me, Mr. Anthony Brown.
And now, you know, I had know a blast. Mr. Anthony Brown, not personally, but his music well. And when I tell you, he has such an anointing to take you to the throne room. Whew, love it. I wish I was there to share with you.
I didn't know. I mean, you know, you watch people on television, you hear them on the radio, and it's beautiful, and you can hear the anointing, you can see it. But to actually experience it in person and live, I was on the second row, and honestly, I mean, the gifting was undeniable. And I'm so grateful for that experience, and so it was an awesome way to open up the new year.
It definitely was an awesome way to open up the new year. And, you know, when we're talking about Anthony Brown, one of my favorite songs that I got introduced to him by was Worth. And when I tell you, that song for me just really allows the anointing of God to pour out his spirit to remind us how worthy we are. And it's so interesting. Yeah, it's so interesting because a lot of times, and I'm sure you would agree with this, as we're talking about making it happen, and is this so significant on the second day of the year? And it's like, okay, we had a great New Year's Eve celebration. Now it is about time to make it happen, to get to work, as one would say. But I was sharing around Anthony Brown, you know, one of the things that I love about the song Worth is it reminds you your worthiness and the worth that you have in Christ to do the assignment that you've been called to do, to just be who he has called you to be. So enough about Mr. Anthony Brown and New Year's Eve. It's January the 2nd.
Right.
And it's time to get to business.
Exactly. And you know what was so funny today? I was out driving down the street, and I was running some errands, and I noticed the streets were kind of empty. And I said, you know what? I don't think everybody's back at work. And I said, well, reality's about to hit tomorrow. It's January the 3rd. And I said, you know what, Shay? It's time to make things happen. And so I spent the day just kind of thinking about what do I need to do? How do I need to transform not only myself, my business, my ministry, in order to have a productive 2017? You know, so often as believers, you know, we wait for God to bless. We wait for him to do it. We wait for God to, hey, Lord, you make it happen. But in actuality, so often I believe God is also waiting for us to put some things in order so that he can make it or help us make it happen.
Absolutely.
And
you know,
today.
Shay, before you're so right, and I know we're getting ready to fast track into some wonderful richness and some nuggets, but you know what I just realized? I jumped in with you talking about New Year's Eve, but I would love for you to share from your point of view, if you were to give people an inside track on who Shay Givens is, because I think that's so important as we lead into this powerhouse that's sharing with us on making it happen. Who would you say Shay Givens is? How would you describe her if someone said, who is she?
Number one, a woman of God. Number two, a daughter. Two amazing parents. A human rights advocate. A compassionate human being. A woman of determination and perseverance. And a woman of love and sensitivity. I could go on and on because I'm so many things, so much that God has put in me. So I'll just leave it at that. Just leave it at that. So that's me.
I love it. And you know what? Those are some great nuggets that really lead us into the various projects that God placed in you that you have since birth and manifest here on earth that you've converted. You've done many assignments. Tell us about some of the book projects that you have completed.
Well, several years ago, I wrote a book called Through the Storm, and that was my first novel. And I wrote this book believing that women, it's a book for women who go through insurmountable odds and how they come out on top in the end. And I love talking about women, writing about women, encouraging women, empowering women, because we go through so much. And most of us go through things and end up coming out looking unscathed. I know women who work 3 and 4 jobs, 4 children, deal with financial issues, go through emotional breakdowns, deal with children who run away and never come home. I mean, the stories are unending. And yet these same women, I look at them with their heads up. I look at them with 3-piece suits on. I look at them and they're 40 years old and they look like they're 25. I mean, I see these type of women and I go, how do we do it? How do we survive all of the odds? And I have such a compassion for women because I know it's so not easy in the days and the times that we live in. So I'm quite impartial when it comes to women issues. So I often write about them. And so all of my 3 books, Through the Storm was the first one. I Am Woman, Walking in God's Divine Purpose was the second one. and, of course, Sex and the Single Church Sister. How to Keep Your Dress On When You Want to Take It Off was a third one. And all of these books were designed to encourage, equip, and deal with issues that we as women go through that we often don't like talking about. Or let me say, not that we don't like talking about it, it's not popular. And it's especially not popular to talk about in the church. And it's also not popular to expose your inner wounds. And so I'm kind of a renegade in a way where I'm the person that'll say it. I'll talk about abortion. I'll talk about depression. I'll talk about suicidal tendencies. And these are things most people like to shy away from that I believe we need to be more open about, because people are suffering, people are dying, and yet we still put smiles on our faces and we act like everything's okay, and it's not. So I'm one of those people that puts it out there. So,
and I so, you know, I so appreciate that about you. And as we're leading into the meat of today's discussion, Making It Happen, I feel like it's so important for individuals to hear the various projects that you've literally had to walk in making it happen, like with your first book, Through the Storm. Prior to that, you were not an author. I'm sure it got a little bit easier when you got to book number two, book number three. I'm sure there's many more on the horizon. And then, of course, you are the founder of I Can Fly International, which, of course, is a nonprofit organization based in the United States and Kenya, East Africa. I'm so grateful that you're actually in the States. We've wanted to come together for some time, but you spend a large majority of your year in Kenya. Share with us a little bit about I Can Fly, and, of course, you started a school, little old you.
I know. Isn't it crazy? Well, it's not crazy. It's God's plans are not like our plans. When I was writing the books, and I'm going to be very transparent with you tonight, because I believe there's some people listening that can identify with this. When I was writing the first book, I had this big vision, sis, Coach Adams. Let me call you Coach Adams. I had this big vision that I would be this huge author, this great speaker that Oprah would call, and Gail and I would sit on the couch at her studio, and all of these wonderful outlets would call me to do interviews, and I would just be this well-renowned author, speaker, TV producer, something of that nature. And I was working so hard because that's what I wanted my life to look like. I wanted people to know my name and read my books and hear my stories. And lo and behold, I started to feel like there was something else. And I think other people, other believers can identify with, you're going down one path, right? And you're like, okay, I'm going to get this degree. I'm going to do this job. But you can feel the unction of the Holy Spirit is kind of leading you a different direction. And it may not be a direction that is so flattering or something that you would want or think of for yourself. And so I'm going down this direction with the books and the women's issues, and I'm speaking at conferences, and churches are calling me, and I'm traveling all over the country. And I hear God saying, I have something else for you. And I didn't know what it was. And I often, I pattern it to pregnancy. It was like I'm carrying something, and I'm trying to figure out, is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it 10 weeks? Is it 10 months? When am I going to deliver? What is it? And God is silent. And as I'm on this path to become this big author, speaker, person, I end up taking a trip to Kenya, East Africa, and my mom's church had a mission trip for the youth. And so I go along, And I ended up meeting women in villages where there was no running water, no plumbing, no toilets, no kitchen, no nothing, electricity. And I hear the Lord speak to me, I should say. He goes, "You will build." I said, "Build? What do you mean build?" And he's silent. And I started to think I was losing my mind. I said, no, that can't be the Lord. That can't be the Lord. I can barely pay my bills. I'm broke. I'm single. I'm a woman. I'm not educated enough to build anything. What do you mean you will build? And so one of the things that I love talking to believers about is how to hear the voice of God. And when you hear it, what do you do with that information? Because so often when God speaks, if you read the word and when he spoke audibly to people and the Holy Spirit spoke to people, he said things that oftentimes didn't quite make sense at the time. And so I'm sitting there going, build. And to make a long story short, after I fought what I heard, because it didn't make sense, and it was very scary, it was different from anything I had ever done, I said to myself, I know how to write a book. By that point, I knew how to write a book. I know how to stand up in front of an audience. I know how to drive a car. I know how to be a teacher or a dancer or a writer or whatever. When he said build, I said, I don't know how to do that. And so this thing called fear gripped me. And I literally ran from what I heard. I ignored what I heard. I was in denial because I was afraid of it. And so I ended up later on, after I was tired of fighting, after I was tired of trying to ignore what I know I heard, what I know I was supposed to do, the direction I knew he was taking me in, I said, okay. And so when I decided to surrender, that was when the make it happen spirit was birthed in me. You go, Coach. You go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, when you said that make it happen spirit really started to rise up, what would you say, and I hear you talking about fear, would you say that fear was the greatest obstacle that you've had to face and to deal with on the journey?
Yes. Fear was the greatest obstacle. And
you know, the reason why I was asking that is because I know that many people struggle with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I know mm-hmm. you have some great wisdom and insight into that. And so I really wanted us to kind of spend a moment dealing with this greatest obstacle that not only did you deal with, I dealt with, continue to deal with, everyone trying to birth this huge vision that, you know, finances don't quite match it. What type of wisdom would you give someone around this subject of fear and facing it and dealing with it head on to get on the other side of making it happen?
Well, what is interesting is nowadays I mostly call to speak. I've had people call me an expert on faith. And I it's so funny to me that in certain circles, people say, call the faith lady. And I'm called to stand up and talk to people about faith. And so now I understand why they call me that, because faith is the opposite of fear. And fear was the greatest obstacle of my life. It was the greatest battle that I've ever had to fight. And the way I started overcoming fear is I studied it. I study fear. And let me tell you a little bit about fear and why it grips us to the point of many of us don't move forward in the things of God. We don't move forward in our personal lives. We don't move forward in our professional lives because of it. There are three main fears that often, you know, keep people from pursuing greatness. Number one fear is fear of the unknown. Okay. It's the one that you don't know what the future looks like. So instead of pursuing it, you stand back and you stay at door A instead of pursuing door B because you don't know what's behind the next door. Then number two is the fear of failure. No one wants to be a failure. If you fail at something, first of all, it doesn't feel good. It's painful. Then the second thing is you're wondering, what is everyone going to think of me? You're worried about what people think. You're worried about what it's going to look like. And you worry about the consequences of failure because usually it's going to impact some other area of your life. Then the third biggest fear is the fear of change. Change is not easy. Transformation can sometimes be a difficult process. Within every change, there's always a process. Do we want to go through a process over and over again, whatever that is? Most of the time, no, because we want things to be easy. And so those are the three biggest fears that I have dealt with, and as I talk to other people, it seems to be the standard.
And, you know, I have to say I can relate to all of them, and I'm sure anyone that has stepped out to try to birth, as we spoke about earlier, a vision that has been given to them. They've dealt with the fear of the unknown, like the first book you wrote, starting a school, whatever it is. You know, that fear of the unknown, like you said, fear of failure. Nobody wants to fail. But, you know, it's so interesting about this fear of failure that I've learned, that in order for us to succeed only once, we have to be willing to fail often. Doesn't mean we are going to, but have that willingness to fail often. And the fear of change. We don't want to be stretched out of our comfort zone. It's like, leave me alone. Leave me right here. I'm comfortable. Don't you dare turn this thing up into this realm that I don't know.
Right.
You know, I want to thank our global listening audience for tuning in to Motivational Mondays today, presented by Inspired Media for You. You are joining in on a rich and insightful dialogue with our in-studio guest, Shay Givens. We are talking about making it happen. And speaking of making it happen, wow, Shay, you started a school in Kenya. Did you have millions of dollars stored up in your bank account for that vision?
You know what? You have jokes. I'm going to stop calling you coach, and I'm going to call you comedian. let me tell you what happened.
You know, the follow-up question to that would be, you know, what do you do when your finances, we spoke about this, touched on it briefly earlier, but what do you do, what insight and wisdom, great wisdom on fear, what do you do when your finances don't quite match the magnitude of the dream as it relates to making it happen?
Someone wrote on Facebook, there was this like, you know how people put on the little inspirational quotes in like a little poster board, and it says, God is not asking you about your bank account. God is not checking your bank account. He's checking your faith, or something like that. And I posted that. I said, yes, exactly. Let me tell you what happened with me. When the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and, you know, because by this time I'm moving around Kenya, I'm meeting women ages 85, 40, 25, who couldn't read or write because they were in communities and their husbands at the time were telling them that education was unnecessary for women. And I'm meeting women who couldn't read their Bibles, they couldn't read letters, they couldn't do business because they had absolutely no idea what the alphabet meant. And so when the Lord placed it on my heart to open an adult literacy school for women, I laughed. I was like, Sarah, like, ha, really? Because I'm walking around, I had bill collectors at that time calling my house. I'm like, who does that? I'm not Oprah Winfrey. I'm not Angelina and Brad, and I'm definitely not Warren Buffett. So I think you got the wrong one, Lord. I really think you made a mistake. And interestingly enough, he said, no, I don't have the wrong one. And so what I did, I had to be innovative because I knew what he said. And I knew the reality was there were no funds in the bank. And I had to be creative. And that's when that make it happen spirit rose up. And I said, how do we start a school? And I said, what do you need? Okay, you need a teacher. You need pens. You need paper. You need seats. You need a chalkboard. And I literally went to a chief in the village where I was starting to open this school. And I asked him if I could first have permission. You can't, in certain African communities, you can't go there and just start a program in someone's house. It's like going to someone's house and start cooking in their kitchen without their permission. So I went to the chief and I asked him if I could so humbly educate the women in the community. And I believe these educated women would be such a great blessing to the children and to their husbands and their households. And he said yes. And so he said, why don't you ask the brother down the road if he'll volunteer to teach? Why don't you ask some of the teachers at a school down the road if you can borrow some pencils and a few sheets of paper? And why don't you ask the pastor here if you can borrow the church from 8 to 12 in the mornings? And I said, yeah. He said, isn't that a school? And I said, that is a school. And I started getting pens and little pieces of paper. Some of them were broken. Some of the little pieces of paper were torn in half. And the teacher who was retired in the village down the road said, yes, I can teach basic English and math skills. And people came together. 12 women came to the first class, and then those 12 women turned into 300 women. And I looked at the Lord, and I said, wow, you do know what you're doing. And so when I look back at those days, I realized that everything that I needed, I already had. See, sometimes we can have a vision, we can have a dream, and we think it's supposed to start out and be this huge, big building or this million-dollar success when God says, just start and trust me along the way. That's how you make things happen. You start with what you have. If you want to have a bakery, you don't have to buy a storefront building in Beverly Hills or on La Brea. You start cooking your cupcakes out of the kitchen in your house. And then you go around to little places at your job or at your church, wherever you sell them. That's how you start. That's how you make it happen.
And, you know, it's so interesting because so often, Shane, you're giving such great insight and, wow, the richness of nuggets that you're sharing are so powerful because, say, I have this vision, but I can't figure it out. I don't know where to go. It's too big. It's too huge. I don't have the money. Wait until you have the money to do it. And, you know, that's always the fallback. Well, if you don't have the money, why are you trying to move forward? As I know you would say with your school and everything you've done, I can testify and say it myself. When we make the decision to step out by faith, everything else, like you said, you started meeting people and all of this just started to come together. Because I found that what we need is in the atmosphere, but until we move, so if we stay stuck in that fear of unknown and say, I'm not going to move until I really understand it all and it all makes sense, which is logical. You know, that fear of failure, I understand we don't want to fail. Yeah, I get it. So that may hold someone back. But I think the biggest one is that fear of the unknown, and I agree with all three, and also that fear of change, that we don't want to be stirred out of our comfort zone.
No. I don't.
I mean, has it been comfortable? Go ahead.
Oh, that's another show. No, what happened? That's two shows. That's a series. What happened with me? You know, I grew up in L.A., right? Right in the Crenshaw-Windsor Hills district. Absolutely loved it. Went to some of the nicest schools, Palms Junior High School, University High School, San Diego State University. Got a degree in English literature. You know, had a pretty decent life. Of course, it was rough. There were rough patches, of course. But the most challenging part of my life was opening the I Can Fly School in Kenya. Okay, so here I am, this sister, you know, little African-American lady from L.A., you know, got a little Hollywood swag going on, right? Thinking, you know, I'm going to have this comfortable life in L.A. I'll travel the country, be a great speaker, a producer, whatever, and live a nice life. And here I am enjoying my comforts of the United States of America in Los Angeles. And the Lord says, go to Kenya, and you're going to stay. And I thought I had lost my natural mind. And I said, stay? I'm accustomed to toilets, nice ones. I'm accustomed to having a decent car and air conditioning and heating when it's cold and a nice bed to sleep in. And I was afraid out of my mind because that being in a third world country, being in a village where there's no running water and no plumbing and no toilet, that was the complete opposite of my comfort. But let me tell you what happened. Here I am opening this school in Kenya. And I'll tell you how that all started. And I read a story in the newspaper in Kenya. It's a Kenyan newspaper. And I'm reading this story about a 10-year-old girl who gets married off to a 55-year-old man. And the man pays for the little girl. It's a particular tribe. I won't mention who they are. This particular tribe of men paid $40 cash and a cow to the parents to marry the 10-year-old little girl. So the parents received the cash and the cow, and the little girl had to go through what you call female genital mutilation before the marriage. That's where a midwife or the chief's wife in the community severs off a particular area of the little girl's vagina. They sew her up, and they consider her marriageable. So I'm reading this story, and I'm starting to cry. And the story talks about a nurse that rescues the little girl, and the man gets mad because the little girl was kidnapped and taken away. And the parents give the 55-year-old man the 6-year-old sister in replace of the 10-year-old. So here I am reading the story, and I started weeping, and I started asking God, how can you allow this to happen? What are you going to do about these children that are suffering? And the Lord says, what are you going to do? And I looked around, and I'm like, did I hear right, John? What am I going to do? What do you mean? What? And I heard three words. And the three words I heard was, go get them. And I said, go get them. what do you mean go get them? I mean, we have the school in Kenya, but we don't have a place where people can live, and we're not in that part of Kenya where that tribe exists. And what do you mean go get them? And I began to ask myself a series of questions. And the questions I began to ask were, if I was one of those little girls, would I want someone to come get me? And the other questions were, does having a toilet, does having a car, does having heat, electricity, and air conditioning, is that more important than a child that's being raped and mutilated? And the answer was no. Up my bags. I made some phone calls. I went through a series of events that I don't have enough time to share on the telephone. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll make it happen, and I will go and I will get those babies. And today, you have the Butterfly House in Kenya that rescues girls ages 13 to 17 years old from early marriage and female genital mutilation. The Butterfly House also takes children who are orphans, children who are homeless, children whose parents are dying from HIV and AIDS. And we rescue all these little girls, and we put them in this house that I built in Kenya called Butterfly House, and we educate them. We have a school where they go. And I can tell you today, every toilet that I wasn't able to sit on that was uncomfortable, every missed meal, because I didn't have enough money at the time, every long desertish road I had to travel because I didn't have a car, it's worth it. Because I have seen the fruit of the labor. I have seen the fruit of my discomfort. I have seen the fruit of my tears. I have seen the fruit of me questioning God and asking him, why me? Because those girls have a safe place. And God,
and you know,
and
there's
of
no
course,
greater.
Mm-hmm, you go.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I can only imagine there's no greater fulfillment than seeing the young girls that are now in this safe haven under your care, under the care of the Butterfly House. There's no fulfillment greater than that.
No, no, there isn't. So I speak very passionately about it because if you were to meet these girls and you hear their stories, somebody has to do something. And we all can't sit back and watch it on CNN and do nothing. Someone has to go. Someone has to give. Someone has to pray. And so that's my calling, and that's part of what I do. And that's why I have to make it happen.
I love it. You know, what's so awesome is that if you weren't making it happen, for example, I don't know how many girls you have impacted thus far under the Butterfly House, but whatever that number is, had you not made it happen, 20 girls, 25 girls, whatever that number is, would not have been touched and impacted in the way that they have been. And so
right.
We have to make it happen. I know, Shay, that today on Motivational Mondays, presented by Inspired Media for You, there are some individuals listening, and it may be, just maybe, you have a question around making it happen. You've heard what our in-studio guest has shared, and you have a question, maybe you have a comment, or some insight yourself around the wisdom of making it happen. This is the time in our broadcast and our programming when we invite you to share in the discussion. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Again, press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. If you are on your electronic device, meaning you're on your laptop, you're at the desktop, on your iPad, on your tablet, you have to dial in. The dial-in number is 516-453-9374, 516-453-9374. Again, press 1 to add yourself to the host queue. I want to give an opportunity. Is there a way in which others can contribute, give into, sow into the projects that you have and the work that you're doing?
Absolutely. I tell everyone to go visit us on the World Wide Web. Our website address is iCanFlyInternational.org. That's iCanFlyInternational.org. And on our website, you can see pictures of the girls. And we do have a few boys. You can see pictures of them there. You can see some of their stories. And you can see actually who we help and how we help them, whether it's through education. We do a lot of rescues. And also I ask people to give. We have about 160 kids right now. And then we have over almost 30 staff. And we're located in a very, remote community in Kenya that's kind of hard to get. But it's a huge operation. And we rescue about 30 kids every year. And so this year we'll have about 160 kids. And so we're always in need of donations. We're always in need of prayer support. And we're also in need of sometimes people like to come and visit and share their expertise, whether they're teachers or they like sports or they do art or they do music. We love for people to come and visit us and share with the students.
Wonderful. And I want to remind our global listening audience that I Can Fly International is a nonprofit organization, so any donations are tax deductable. I want to remind our listening audience that, again, our lines are open. We are taking your questions around today's subject of making it happen. Make a comment. Don't be shy. This is a safe space. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. You know, Shay, I always love to ask my guests that join us your greatest life lesson to date. What would you say thus far as of January the 2nd, 2017, what has been your greatest life lesson to date on your journey?
My greatest life lesson would be my greatest obstacle has been myself, getting out of God's way. Yeah.
And, you know, I can so relate to that, Shay, because, you know, when I was hearing you talk about where you saw your journey going, what I do today is completely opposite of where I saw my journey. You know, I was in real estate and have an extensive background in that, licensed realtor, focused on real estate finance. So I saw myself as a real estate mogul. I mean, that was the journey. And when God spoke, speaker, trainer, coach, I ran like, not this girl. I'm going to be a real, you know. So we have our own perceived expectations of our journey, and when you say getting out of the way, I had to say I get out of the way so that I can fulfill my assignment, the reason why I was placed on this planet, and I know you're saying the same. Any other insight that you would share with our global listening audience today around making it happen? It sounds like for you there was this shift, that this light went on and it became a mindset shift. Any insight around how one can get to that place?
Well, I think one of the things we do is we limit ourselves. We put lots of limits on ourselves because we watch other people. We compare ourselves to other people. And that's one of the things that I had to stop doing in order to make it happen, was stop comparing myself to so-and-so. Or stop trying to be like somebody that I admired and truly embrace who I am and who God created me to be. And so often we put limits on ourselves because we watch who else has done it or hasn't done it. And that's our marker. But our marker is so much greater when we stop looking at who did it or who didn't do it, or because of who I am and the amount of education I have or the amount of money that I have or what I don't have. When we get past those issues, we truly become unstoppable. And so when people come to me and they say, how do you start a school in Africa? How do you start this whole movement? And I go, I got out of the way. I didn't put a limit saying, well, only these kind of people can do this. Once I got those thoughts out of my mind that only people like Warren Buffett, only people like the Clintons, only people like this do things like that, then things started to happen. The wheels started turning because I took the, what do you say, I took the top off of the bottle, and I began to move forward because I stopped comparing myself to people and I stopped watching who has done it. It doesn't matter who's done it. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You start somewhere and you trust God and you take one step at a time.
Wow, that is so powerful, because for many, the comparisons really become such a constraint because we're looking to other people to measure our success. And when we're looking to other people, for example, like you said, I'm not an Oprah. So if you were to say, I can't start school because I don't have the Oprah, you know, you would not have started the school. If it was about comparisons and comparing yourself, each person's journey is different. So I love that that you said, I had to get out of my way. That is such great wisdom. Oh, my gosh, truly rich. You know, lastly, I want to ask you, if someone is sitting, listening in, and they're thinking, wow, it's too late. I've missed it. I feel like I've missed the window of opportunity for me. The dream was just too great, and I got stuck in the fear of the unknown and didn't want to fail, and so I didn't do anything because I was afraid of change. What would you say in closing to that individual?
I tell everyone, young, middle-aged, and old, your story is not over. It is never too late because you're still breathing. And as long as you're still breathing, God is not finished. And as long as he's not finished, there is time to do and become whatever it is your heart and your spirit speaks. Because that is the truth. What your heart and your spirit speak. Not time, not circumstances. It's your heart and your spirit, what God says. And as long as you're still here, it's never too late.
I love it. And speaking of one story not being over, is there something that you can share that's on the horizon for Shea Givens, I Can Fly International, The Butterfly House, anything, more books on the horizon, anything on the horizon that you can share that you're at liberty to share that we can expect from Shea Givens?
I am working on the fourth book. I'm so excited about it. I'm working on the fourth book where I talk about the butterfly story and how it all came to be, The Butterfly House. And it's a story about faith. And I believe this book is going to definitely help increase the faith of God's people. Just to remind people that we don't live in a time where miracle stories are dead. And that's what happened a long time ago, in the Bible. No, we still serve a God of miracles that are happening as we speak. Also, The Butterfly House, we have 25 more girls coming to the Butterfly House next week. I'm very excited. They will join our group of over 100 students. So I'm looking forward to the new girls that are on the way. All the rescues that have been happening are absolutely miraculous. And so that's what's happening in the Butterfly House. And we're looking forward to sharing more about what God is doing in Kenya and how we're continuing to combat female genital mutilation and early marriage in the lives of girls around the globe. So I think that's my report, Coach Adams. Yeah.
I love it. And, you know, as you were sharing, I was reminded of a story, and if I get the dollar amount wrong, please, by all means, correct me. But I remember when you were sharing this, a part of your testimony, and you were saying you made the decision to move forward with the Butterfly House and didn't have the resources. And if I recall the story correctly, you went to your mailbox and had a check of $10,000 or something like that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I thought it was so important to close with that when you make the decision to make it happen, people want to catch your vision. Mm-hmm. And here you didn't have that, and here someone felt inclined to say, we're going to sow into your ministry. So whatever the contribution, large or small, if you felt the pull and the tug, give the website address again for them to be able to sow into the ministry.
Sure, by all means. The website is icanflyinternational.org. That's icanflyinternational.org. And I can also be reached by phone. And our telephone number is 323-282-9529. Again, that's 323-282-9529. And so often I tell people, Coach Adams, if someone can't give, small or large, tell somebody about it. Send them to the website and see what we're doing. And I believe everyone can be a part of it some way, somehow. And just check it out and be a blessing to someone else. So thanks so much.
Oh, absolutely. And I thank you for sharing with us prior to heading back to Kenya. I know you leave in about a week or so. So I'm so grateful that we had this opportunity to share. Know that Motivational Mondays is a platform. We would love to have you come back because there's so many different topics that we can discuss. We can discuss on one of your books, the new book, whatever that looks like. So know you're welcome here on Motivational Mondays with us at any time. And as we prepare to close, I want to share with our global listening audience, remind some, make some aware, that we want to continue this dialogue. Maybe you were hesitant to ask a question, make a comment. It's okay. We do understand there's often that reservation when you're live and on the airwaves. But we have our Facebook Motivational Mondays forum that is an open group. We invite you to join in the discussion. Maybe you have a show guest or a topic that you feel would be great. We want to hear that as well. We appreciate you tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams today, and I want you to know that we have throughout this month of January, as this is our shape-up month. At the end of this month, January the 28th, Coach Adams will be hosting her 4 hours of Power Wind Shop with Coach Adams, 4 hours of Power with Coach Adams. I want to stay connected with you. If you're not already a part of my network, please visit coachadams.com, coachadams.com. If you have not yet gotten your ticket for 4 hours of Power, be reminded, and for some, I'm letting you know that Coach Adams has a full circle of empowerment to support you on your journey to achieve greater success. Twice a year in January and July, only twice a year. You don't want to miss this empowerment opportunity. We host a live empowerment win shop, 4 hours of Power with Coach Adams, where we shape up and win. 4 hours of Power is a powerful time of vision training, strategic planning, and coaching empowerment. Receive empowering tools to win in life on your journey and become more equipped to reach your goals personally and professionally. What a great way to jump start your year. Advance tickets are available at ticketriver.com/Coach Adams. ticketriver.com/Coach Adams. In addition, sponsorship opportunities are also available so you can give the gift of empowerment. Don't want to miss any of our show episodes. This 2017 is going to be powerful and dynamic. I want to thank you again for tuning in to Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, the one who inspires. I coach and you win.